Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Nun Gimel. So we're holding in the Gan this morning, which is a good place to begin as we get closer to Rosh Hashanah, getting back there to that Gan. Chasidim v'anshei ma'aseh. So remember that the Mishnah started without telling us what exactly was said. But it does say that during this dancing, they would say shirim v'tushbachot, and it never said what exactly did they say. So now the Gemara is explaining what they would say. Tana Rabbana, yesh mehem omrim ashrei yalduteinu shelo bisha et ziknuteinu. So some of them, those were the chasidim v'anshei ma'aseh, which means people who were born into goodness and into a period of childhood where their childhood didn't bring them to be involved in things that embarrassed them later. So that's what we call chasidim v'anshei ma'aseh, meaning from the start. V'yesh mehem omrim ashrei ziknuteinu shekiprat yaldutenu. Whereas others would say, happy is our old age, which is a kapora for a corrupt youth. This is a reference to people who did teshuva for the things that they did during their youth. So this is a very beautiful nekuda that the Aleshur points out from this Gemara, and it's absolutely shocking when you see it. It's really an amazing aura, which is that you see that both of the types of shirim that were said over here were in terms of a person's incorporating their childhood. In other words, you see from here that the psychology of childhood is absolutely essential for you to be able to incorporate in order to be able to have any shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Many people, especially before the age of psychology and discovery of all of the impact of childhood, you know, whatever. They didn't think about their childhood again. I mean, you don't even remember you were a child. And what he points out is that this Gemara is saying that the only way to get remember that the whole idea of Sukkot is a perspective and it's an awareness of the entirety of the history of Klal Yisrael, and in an individual sense, by the way, this is, I just want to in advance tell you that this is an important nekuda on this daf, Bichlal, is that the individual experiences are spoken of as if they are the experiences of Klal Yisrael as a whole, as we're going to see. And this is like a theme that's intertwined in the stories of the daf. So for him to point out and to recognize that at the beginning of the daf, the perspective of the relationship of one's childhood to one's old age is essential, is an extremely powerful thought. I mean, what kind of funny thing is this to say when you're dancing around the Beis HaMikdash? What's the difference about your childhood? I know, I understand if the whole point is, which is so central to the Inyan of Sukkot, is the concept of Teshuvah. And Sukkot, as we've always said, is the actualization of the Tshuva of Yom Kippur in the physical universe as a klal for Yisrael. I understand that part makes sense, that you could talk about the Balei Tshuva who said, Ashrei Ziknuteinu Shekiprat Yaldutenu, although that would be a strange way to put it. I mean, why is it the relationship between the ages? Could you say, be Mishabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the option of Teshuvah? But the centrality of Teshuvah to the whole Sukkot experience and to the idea of the Simchas Pesach Shoeva, that it's to get people to see that they should be able to understand that interrelationship between youth and later life, and that the whole idea of the world, after all, is that it's a world of teshuvah, to learn to appreciate and to be mishabeach the ability for a person to continue to develop through life, is a massively important nekuda remember that it runs completely counter to the entire Western vision, in which there's no concept of tshuva whatsoever. You know, or the same thing is true, you know, in the Shidduch world, the Jewish world. What Gan did you go to? Sorry, my daughter cannot go out with anybody that went to a Datilu Mi Gan Chas V'Chalila. It's unbelievable. And the idea of like finding somebody, finding something on a current president, maybe he wore the wrong T-shirt when he was a teenager. It's unbelievable. There's no concept, Bichlal, that people at one stage in their life can be different than the same person later. That Adarabba, that's the whole point of the human condition. It's an amazing thing. How in the world do such people live? But anyway, this is the Nekuda over here of our Chag HaSukkos Ban Simchasenu. Ve'elu ve'elu omrim, and then both of them, now this part makes a lot of sense. Because this is a shevach to the idea of tshuva bichlal. So elu ve'elu omrim, ashrei mi shelo chata, u'mi shechata yashuv v'yimcholo. Tanya, omru alav al hillel hazaken, kishaya sameach b'simchat beit ha'shoeva. Amar kein, im ani kan hakol kan, v'im eni kan mi kan. If I'm here, then everybody is here. But if I'm not here, so then who's here? Nobody's here. So Rashi explains that Hillel was speaking ki'ilu, the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael. That just remember, if the Shechina is Shira in the Beis HaMikdash, then that is basically the whole idea. That's why you're all here. That's why we're all together. But if Chas V'Chalila, you're misalek the Shechina by your Chatoim, who's going to come here? Who would be interested? But Tosis brings that in the Yerushalmi, it's mashma, that the idea is that he was talking about himself as if he were Klal Yisrael, not as if he's telling us the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Eile in the Kilusim of Yisrael, that this Shevach V'Tishpachos that we say is the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Eile in the Eilam and is Nizgala to the Eilam, that the Shem is there. So because that's from the Psukim, we find that it says Na'im Zmirot Yisrael, which of course we say is a reference to David HaMelech, but the Pashtus is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Sheira in the Na'imus of those, that's the Shechina in the Zmiris of Yisrael. And it says Beferish, Ata Kadosh, Yoshev Tilot Yisrael. Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu sit Kavayochel? In the Tehillos of Yisrael, so that Hillel was Dafka talking as Yisrael. And there are those who explain, I think that's the Netziv says, that he was talking for himself, but he was saying that every person has to recognize Ani does not mean me. Ani means the real me. Most people, when they're somewhere, they're not there. Nobody's home. So that's what he's saying. Imani kan, if there is a real me that's here and somebody's home, then fine, then everything can be here. But if the person isn't at home himself, so then, you know, what is all of this? It's just exteriorized and meaningless. Okay, so there's many different levels to Hillel's strange statement, but that's what I was telling you before. This is part of the theme that there is a presence of the perspective of Yisrael Bichlal. And because of the perspective of Yisrael, Memela, almost by definition, the perspective of the Shechina, which is Knesset Yisrael, that Hillel can express. There's not really a contradiction between the Yerushalmi and Rashi's Pshat, according to the Baalei Kabbalah, because that's the essence of Knesset Yisrael. Hu haya omer ken, he would say like this, l'mokom shani ohev, shom raglai molichot oti, that the person, this ties in with the Netziv's pshat, that if I am home, so then that means there are deep longings within a person that are maybe subconscious at the time, and he doesn't even understand what they're bringing him to. But the fact is that the things that I love, deep down, as my inner self, in the end, that influences my life, and I'm brought to the physical presence of those things. And that therefore, that's the ani. And the reason I find myself in a Beis HaMikdash is because that's where my heart is. Im atat avol beiti. Now this Tosus agrees has to be in terms of the taking the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and speaking it to Klal Yisrael. If you come to my home, ani avol beitcha, I will come to your home to be mevarach you. But im atat lo tavol beiti, if you won't make aliyat beis hamikdash, ani lo avol beitecha. Shenemba b'chol ha'makom asher azkir et shmi, if you come to the place where you're allowed to be masked the Shema Mefurish, which is the Bokam HaMikdash, and then Avoylecha, I will come to you in your home of Verachticha. And also, Hillel once wrote, Gogolet Achachit Sofal Pnei Amai. Now this is the, of course, this is the Mishnah that everybody knows from Avos. And Rashi explains that Hillel obviously was not making some kind of childish assumptions about that if a guy was drowned in a river, then obviously he must have drowned somebody else. I mean, that's absurd. But Hillel knew for a fact, he recognized the chopped off head that was being as a criminal. And this was somebody who was part of the mafia and was known to be a murderer. And what he was saying is that I'm telling you that this kind of thing, even you'll say, but the person who killed him anyway was only killing a murderer. And that was his din was that he should have been murdered anyway. That's part of what Hillel is saying, that the ra'ah in the world is achieved through those who dedicate themselves to ra'ah. So that's ki yipol anofel mimenu. It's the same kind of idea. So therefore, he said, al de'ataft atfuch, because you killed others, or drowned others, that's why you found yourself in the East River. Umatifcha chitufun, and those who drowned you, they'll be drowned by others too. The mafia will keep eating its people alive. Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Now this points out, Rashi, that this has to be in the context of Hillel's statement of, I find myself walking to the place where my heart really desires to be. And this is another facet of the same type of idea. And Rabbi Yochanan says, Ragloi debar inish inun arevenbe, leatardemi debai taman movilinate, that the person's own feet are in a sense the guarantors for his life. And where he needs to go, if that's where he needs to be to die, they bring him there because that's where he is needed to be. And this was an amazing story of Hanu Tre Kushoi, the Havikameh de Shlomo. Shlomo HaMelech had these sofrim, it says in the Psukim, where talks about the people that were working. And it says there, Elichoref va'achia, b'nei shisha, were sofrim to Shlomo HaMelech. So sofrim is general secretaries, and they would write down everything and so on. And these were two very beautiful people, and therefore they were called kushoi, like we talk about Aisha Kushit. And the Malach HaMavis, who was a friend of Shlomo HaMelech, so Shlomo HaMelech saw one day that the Malach HaMavis is looking really down and depressed, davikahatziv, which made Shlomo feel rather sad. Why should my dear friend the Malach HaMavis be so sad? So he asked him, Amayatzivat, why are you so miserable? Omar Leis, he said, the kaboy minoy ani tarte kushoy deyat ve'acha. Oh, it's a really sad day. You know, these two gorgeous kids, I can't believe it. I've been ordered to take their souls. So Shlomo HaMelech assumed that he was sad because he didn't want to see them die. So he immediately calls over these shadim, because remember that Shlomo HaMelech was the Melech al Elyonim, al HaTachtonim, and he gives over to the shadim, Masvinu L'Seirim, and he tells them, bring these two kids to Mechuzah de Luz. And in Luz, the Malach HaMavis is not Sherlite. If that was a place where no one would die. So Kimatu L'Mechuzah de Luz, as they were about to come into the gateway to Luz, that's where they dropped dead. L'Machar, the next day, Shlomo HaMelech meets the Malach HaMavis, and he's in a wonderful mood. He says, how come you're so happy today? Oh, he said, I was miserable yesterday because I had to take the lives of these two kids, and I couldn't because they were in the wrong place. But thank you for sending them right into my hands. So then he realized that what the Malach HaMavis was saying yesterday about being miserable was not being miserable about needing to take their souls, but being miserable because he was unable to. So Ba'atar Debo Minayta Man Shadritino, you sent them exactly where they needed to go. Miyad Patach Shlomo V'Yamar Ragloi Devarinish Ino Naravin Bey La'atar Demidbayta Man Mavin Minyate. So where the person needs to go, that's where he ends up being brought. My Rebbe Reb Chaim used to always say, I'll just give a shmuz on this. That was, you see, when you try to do the kind of things to avoid the inevitable, the way in which you work, doing too much ishtavas beyond what is the norm of what is a person supposed to take for his business, always ends up serving things that you are not aware of. The chlav, you put this in the yanim of Haman and Purim and Beis Nister and so on. They're all interrelated. One of his favorite stories. Tanya, Amra lover of Shimon ben Gamliel, kishaya sameach simchat Beit HaShoeva. That when Reb Shimon ben Gamliel was celebrating at the Simchas Beit HaShoeva, he would do the most amazing thing. He would take 8 burning torches, ayanot ha-shmona avukot shel or, and he would juggle with them. Zorek achat v'not al achat, they would never end up touching each other, never fall to the ground. Did a perfect juggling job. You imagine how much Reb Shimon ben Gamliel must have practiced that one. It's like incredible. Ukishum ishtachaveh, and when he would do the ishtachaveh, he didn't do ishtachaveh, he would do kida. And he wanted to show the chavivus of the Beis HaMikdash, to kiss the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi brings, of course, the pasuk of the way that those who love Eretz Yisrael, they would actually rotsu avadecha savaneh v'safarai chodenu. That's exactly what he wanted to do. So to lie down on the ground is one thing, but he wanted to be eimed. So he would noyet shnei gudalav ba'aretz. He would be able to bend over from the waist, put both thumbs on the ground, and then without bending his knee, he was the only one in his generation who was able to do this, Rashi says. He would bow and kiss the floor and then get up, all the time without bending his knees. This was no one who could do this. Means no one in his generation, as Rashi explains. And this is what's known as kida, as opposed to ishtachavaya. So that's one of the words that's used for ishtachavaya, which is a kida, but it's different because only the face touches the ground and not the legs. Levi once did this to show that he could do kida in front of Rebbe, and because of it, he broke one of his vertebrae, and he was always lame after that. V'itla, asked the Gemara, but that wasn't the reason that Levi became lame. We know that the reason that Levi became lame was because of the chutzpahdik words that he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Va'amar Rebbe Elazar, Niolam ayotiach adam dvarim klapi mala. A person should never speak with chutzpah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sharei adam gadol itiach dvarim klapi mala. A tiach dvarim is like to shoot arrows upwards, meaning that you say sharp words. And because he did that, itla, he became, even though he was an adam gadol, he became lame. Umanu, Rebbe Elazar explained that that was Levi. And this was the story that the Gemara says, that Levi, once there was the Tainus, the Gemara Tainus talks about this, it was a Tainus, and Levi was the one who was going to the Tainus, and nothing happened. There was no rain. So he said, Ribbono shel Olam, Alita l'Amoraim, And you don't care about your children anymore. And because of that, he was punished. So why did you say that it was because he was ach v'kida? Because of agarmalei. When a person is chayiv something, it doesn't happen on the spot. It's like, as Rashi says, nafal tura chadet sakina. If the shor fell down, that's the time to take out the sheikhet, take out his knife and get him. Meaning that when the person does something that is dangerous, so that's when the gzar din will be carried out. So it means that the two are interrelated, of course. Levi, avi mitayel kamei de Rebbe b'tmanei sakine. Now notice the lashon of mitayel here, because remember that we said before that the lashon of the chiyuv of being in the sukkah is the person who is mitayel. I mean mitayel in the sukkah. And we saw over there that the lashon of mitayel was a lashon of playing around, doing what you're doing. And that's what it's using in over here. Levi was mitayel, he would play around in front of Rebbe. And as Rashi brings, now this is another expression of the theme that I mentioned to you earlier, is that Rebbe, as the Nasi, basically sensed the pain of all of Klal Yisrael. And we know the Gemara says he went through hell, and he had tremendous stomach problems because of it. And he used to always be in tremendous pain. And so they would do things to try to make Rebbe a little bit happier. And so Levi...
And it affected Yoldos, which has to do with beginning of life also, right? The Yoldos didn't miscarry.
Okay. That's a little bit... Okay, fine. Very nice. So he would use 8 knives. These were sharp knives, man. And he would juggle with 8 knives. Now, that's taking your life in your hand. And he was able to do that, always catching the knives and throwing them up with their handles and not getting cut. Shmuel used to play around in front of Shavor Malka, who was the Melech of Poras. And he used to use 8 glasses of wine that were filled to the brim, and they didn't spill. That doesn't say filled to the brim. Maybe they were only partially filled. Abaye used to play around in front of Rabbah using 8 raw eggs. At least he claimed they were raw. We don't know what happened when one of them fell. And some say, no, actually could only do 4 eggs at a time. Anyway, getting back to the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Tanya. Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya. I can tell you that when you, Rabbi Shuba Hanani was one of the Levim, you'll remember the old story of he said, I'm from the Shearim, and you should be careful not to try to help me. Anyway, so during the time of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva days, we didn't have a minute to sleep, the entire Sukkot. Ketzad, Sha'ari Shana Tamid Shel Shachar. So, the morning we were there involved in the Tamid Shel Shachar. Then we went to the Tefillah. Then we went to the Korban Musaf. Then we went to the Tefillah Sam Musaf. Remember that they had a bokum that they would daven in the Beis HaMikdash. Misham LeBeit HaMidrash. Then we went to learn. Then we went to have a meal, the Kavod Yontif. Misham LaAchila V'Shtiyah. From there we went to Tefillah Mincha. Then we had to go to the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. After the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, we went to the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So that was it. We never went to sleep. What? Eini v'Amar Rabbi Yochanan. If a person makes a shvua, shelo yishan shlosha yamim, malkinoto on the spot, v'yashen la'alter. So a person who makes a shvua that he's not going to sleep for 3 days, that is considered to be a shvua shav. Because it's impossible. You can't live without sleeping for 3 days. And therefore, he gets Malkus, assuming that someone had given him Hatra'ah, not to make that Shvua. And the Shvua is not Chal on him at all, because we have somebody who's Nishba on something that's impossible doesn't have a din of a Shvua. It has a din of a Shvua Shav. So we see that you can't do such a thing. So what did he mean? We didn't see sleep for 7 days. I'm not saying we didn't sleep. I'm saying we didn't feel what it was to go to sleep. Obviously, we fell asleep sitting next to each other. My head fell on the guy in the next seat on the plane, you know, and his head fell on my shoulder. If you think that's called sleep, baby, try it for a week. Anyway, but that's what it means. So that is certainly possible to do. Anyway, getting back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah describes the various tekiyos that remember they had the kohanim that were standing up there on Shaar Nikdar, and the Leviim were standing on these Chamesh Esrei Ma'alot, and on the Chamesh Esrei Ma'alot, when the kohanim were coming down to get the mayim, and when they came to the 10th stair, and they would say again, they would do the tekiya drua tekiya. Now the question is, where did these 15 steps come from? Omele Rav Chista la umi rabbanan. It says in the Mishnah that they're keneged the Chamesh Esrei Shirei Hamalos. So Rav Chista asked one of the rabbanan, who was the one who was misader agadat hakamei, and he was the one who would tell him over various divrei midrashim. Omar le shmielach ani Chamesh Esrei Hamalot keneged mi amran David. Do you have any pshat in why it was? I understand that it's connected to Chamesh Esrei Ma'alot, but like, where did the Chamesh Esrei Ma'alot themselves come from? Why did David say specifically Chamesh Esrei Shirei Ma'alot? Omar le'ochi omar Rabbi Yochanan b'sha'a shekara David shitin kofa takoma and omar David Chamesh Esrei Ma'alot v'horidan. So when David was digging out the shitim, which could mean that this bandyomer is chaylik on the Gemara, it says Rashi, that it was from Sheshes Mebereshes. It's unlikely. The other pshat is that Adarabba, from the Lashon HaMedrash, where it says that he found this little stopper that said, do not lift. And I'm here from Sheshes Mebereshes, Adarabba. It meant that David HaMelech was uncovering the stopped up shitin that had become filled up with time, as Rashi himself brings. So what happened is that this is like sort of an abbreviated part of the story. It turns out that the one who was telling him over the Medrash forgot the details. So the waters from the Tahom were going to come up, and they were threatening to flood the whole world. So David HaMelech said, Chamesh Esrei Ma'alot, to bring them down. Says Rav Chista, it doesn't make sense. Why would we call it Shir HaMa'alot if the idea was to take the water down? We should call them Shir HaYoredot. So there seems to be something missing. Oh, right, he says. I'm really like, okay, you reminded me now. Now I remember. So Holvat Karata Nilta, you reminded me, Achit Martz. Actually, this is what it said. B'sha'ash Karada Vechitin Kafatohama. Again, he's leaving out the part about taking the stopper out, and you know the whole idea of the primal things that are done that open up the world to tzaras that appear in so many myths around the world. So kofa tohoma uba lemishtafam amar David. So David said, "Mi ika diyada yishari lemichtav shem." Does anybody know if it would be mutter to write the Shem Hashem on a piece of chaspa, which is a piece of broken pottery? And that way I'll throw it into the water that's coming up and it will go down and will stop the water from coming. Actually, David knew this. And that's why he understood, obviously, this was a getter of Saita. And his question was whether he didn't want to say it in front of Achitofel, because he held Achitofel to be his Rebbe, says Rashi, and it would be like Mer Halacha Bifnei Rabbi. So he wanted Achitofel to say it was mutter based on Saita. And what's the kasha? Why wouldn't it be mutter to save the whole world? Because it could be that it's a getter of a Chilul Hashem. And Chilul Hashem, you're not allowed to do that. So this again is the expression of the idea of representing the entire world. So this would be a translation of the ideas of an individual's life, and especially in terms of Bein Ish Le Ishtay, as we're about to see the Kal V'Chomer, that this is a getter of the translation of individual lives and relationship into the perspective of the relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the world. So Achitofel didn't say anything. Balek at the commonly meeting. So David said, "Kol diyada lameimar veino oimer." Whoever knows the solution to this and doesn't say it should choke to death, which is, of course, what happens in the end to Achitofel. So, Nasa Achitofel kavachobre ba'atzma. Umar la'asot shalom ben ish le'ishto amra Torah. Shmi shenichta b'kidusha yimache alamayim. La'asot shalom le'kol olam kulo alachat kama v'kama. So, note again the interesting lashon. Nasa kavachomer ba'atzmo, that the kavachomer came through the application of what he saw in himself. Again, an expression of the theme that we've identified here throughout the daf. So that if just a relationship between a man and his wife, HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically justifies the erasure of the shem, because the parsha sheita contains the shem Hashem. So therefore, Kol Shekein, if this is to restore a relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Kol Olam Kulay, it should be mutter. So he gets up and he says, mutter, right? Omar Shari. So David HaMelech did that, cut off Shema Chaspa, and Shari Leturma, he throws it down into the water, and the tome goes back down, and it goes down 16,000 amos. So Kichazi Denachis Tuva, when David HaMelech saw how far down it went, he says to himself, but wait, Kama de Midli Tvei Mir Tevalma. The higher the water level is of the aquifers, the more there is water available on the surface. And because of that, the earth will be more fertile. Now, of course, as we've explained in the past, this is an understanding that comes from Saita Gufa. The Kal Vachomer was from Saita. And by the Saita, it says exactly the same thing. That after the Saita drinks from the water, and it turns out that she was not Mizana, so that if she was infertile, she becomes fertile. And if she was fertile, so she becomes more fertile. It describes the type of children that she'll have, and so on. So David HaMelech understood that this is an opportunity to bring fertility to the earth. And indeed, because of that, he said the Chamesh Yisrei Shir HaMaalot. Omar Chamesh Yisrei Maalot, and he brought up with each one of the Shir HaMaalot, 1,000 Amos, he brought up the water table. Ba'aske Chameser Alfei Garmide, V'ukbe Ba'alfei Garmide. Omar Ula Shmamina Sumcha Da'ara Alfei Garmide. You see from here that the thickness of the top layer of the earth above the aquifers is 1,000 amos. But that doesn't make sense. I mean, sometimes you only have to dig down 10, 20 feet and you already get to a well. V'chazina de karina purta v'nafke maya. So how could that be? Omre mishashia, that's not aquifers. It's not water from the Tahom. That is coming misulma de pras. Here in Bavel, that is basically the water that is seeping underneath the surface that comes from the headwaters of the Euphrates, and that is very high. And because of that, it's able to allow the water to be just under the surface. But then that is surface water. That's not Tahom water. The Amdu Kohanim Bishar Helyon Shiored. And then they got down to the 10th stair. Now, I'm not sure. We talked yesterday about why there would be this difference between the 10th and the other five, and explained that it's because of Leka Einenu, and that the Mishnah says, Onu Leka V'Leka Einenu, and that's Yud and He. And this is the day in which the two worlds of Yud and He are Misnashek through the Nisach HaMayim. So the question is, did they stop on the 10th step from the ground, or did they stop on the 10th step down from the top? You understand the implications of that question for the machlokas about whether Eretz Nevratchila or Shemayim Nevratchila, and so on and so forth. The implications are pretty clear. So boy, Reb Yirmiyah. Was it Lamala Asirit, the Nochit Chamisha Vekoya Asara, They first walked down five stairs, and then they stood on the 10th stair up. Did they go down 10 stairs and stand on the 5th stair up? Take them. Turn up on it. Getting to that pasuk, this is the story that we had back to you. We talked about the way in which Yechezkel was shown this horrible vision of the people, 25 people in the Beis HaMikdash who were bowing down to the sun. So it says over there, Ufneim Kedma, they're facing the east. Well, obviously, if they're facing the east and it says they're in front of the Heichal, so then it's obviously that their backs were towards the Heichal. So any Odea Shachoreim al Heichal Hashem. So then why does the Torah have to say Beferish in the Pasuk in Yechezkel, Ma Talmud Lomar Achoreim al Heichal Hashem? Then why make the point of saying it? So obviously, it's adding something. That they were actually mooning the Echal in the most bizoyant fashion imaginable. But we are different. Ask the Gemara, how can you say the shame twice? It's the same as saying Modi Modi, Mishatkimoto. So if you say the shame of Hashem, it's like you're addressing two different gods. You know, there's Ka number one and Ka number two. I mean, how do you do that? You're not allowed to do that. No, what they were saying, we were just giving you the essential point. What they actually said is that they, the people that were in that Nevius in the first place, Amigash Mishtachavim Kedma, whereas we are laka, meaning we're mishtachave laka, anu laka mishtachavim, and einenu laka miyachalot, and all of our hopes and all of our beliefs are turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ready for our kapitan. So we talk about the chatzotzot that we blow during the entire celebration over here of getting the mayim, bringing the mayim. It turns out that the minimum number of these chatzotzot sounds that we make on a normal day in the Beis HaMikdash is never less than 21. So ein po chatin me'achat esrim ve'achat kiyot be'migdash. And there's no period that we could identify where we could get beyond 48. Now, these tekiyos, each one, actually, we have a tekiya, trua, tekiya. And we're calling that three. We'll see this is why it is that we view it as three separate acts of blowing on our chatzotzot. So here's how it goes. On a normal day, the minimum that you have is 21 tekiyos, because when they opened up the gates of the Azora, there were three just for the Petichat Sharim. Now remember, three actually means one, because you can't blow less than three, because it's tekiya, trua, tekiya. So it doesn't mean there were three separate mitzvahs of doing a tekiya on each shar. It means that that is the way that we're tekiya, and we'll see why we insist on calling it three separate mitzvahs. And then after that, there were teisha latomet shel shachar. The reason there were teisha this is talking about the zman of the nesach. So what we used to do, as the Gemara, as the Mishnah explained in Tamid, was that every single time that there was a nisuch hayayin, there was a shir, and the shir was always like a concerto. It was broken up into three sections, and each one of those sections was the nigunim of the Levi, and on each one of them, we did the tkia, trua, tkia. So then that means that there were nine for Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim, and nine for Tamid Shel Shachar, and that's already our 21, and then if it was a day that there was a musaf, so then you had to add another nine for the shir on the nisuch hayayin of the musaf. If it was Erev Shabbos, then there were another six, like we learned in Shabbos, Three of them were to get people to recognize that it's almost Shabbos. And so there in the Gemara Shabbos, remember it said that the first one, that was the Tkia, that means the people in the Soda have to stop working. The Trua meant that the stores have to close. And the Tkia after that was that it's time to take things off, time to put things, turn off the fires and put things under blankets if you need to keep it warm and to be Madlik the Neres for Shabbos and so on. And then there were another three, which was Lahavdil ben Kedesh Lachol. That was the last possible second that people should know that from this point on, there's a Chiyuv of Skila. And then if it was Erev Shabbos during Sukkot, now there is how we end up with 48, because we have the normal Shalosh Uptichas Sharim. But then we had, remember, these extra three for the Shar HaElyon. And then we had three for the Shar HaTachtein, and we had three for the Miloy HaMayim, all of which were described in the previous Mishnah. And then when they put up those Aravas, we had three Agabe HaMizbeach, as we learned before, that at the time of putting up the Aravas, we also did a Trua Tkia Tkia. And then we had the normal Teisha for the Tamid Shel Shachar, Teisha for the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, Teisha for the Musafim, and because it was also Erev Shabbos, we needed the Shalosh Laftil at Amin HaMalacha, the Shalosh Lahavdil Ben Kedesh Lachol, and that gives us a total of 48 different Kailites. Now, the fact that the Mishnah refers to every one of these Kailites as a different Kol, and instead of saying, when it says 21, it really could have said 7, because there were only 7 occasions. So the Masnis in Deloka Rebbe Yehuda, the Tanya Rebbe Yehuda Omer, the least is 7, and that, of course, is the 21. And the most is the 16, which, of course, times 3 is the 48. So according to Rebbe Yehuda, each grouping of Tkia, Trua Tkia, was considered to be one. And our Mishnah is reading every Tkia, Trua Tkia as 3. What is the, obviously the Mishnah is not going like Rebbe Yehuda. Now, what is the basis of this whole machlokas from my kamiflege? So Rebbe Yehuda holds a Tkia and a Trua and a Tkia is all one thing. And the Rabbanan hold the Tkia is Lechud and the Trua is Lechud. What's the basis of Rebbe Yehuda holding it's all one mitzvah? Omar kro utkatem trua. What do you mean, utkatem trua? You're tokea tkia, and you're meiria a trua. So what does it mean to be tkatem trua? So this proves to you, haketzad, tkia v'trua achasi. Obviously, it's really one. So how do the Rabbanan explain that? They say, no, that's coming to tell me, utkatem trua, that first you need a tkia, which is a kol that's a pshuta, lefanea, and then you need a pshuta la'achareah, that comes from the pasuk that says trua yitko. So then we have tkatem trua, trua yitko. That teaches me that I need a pshuta before every trua, and that's where we get the idea that it's always tkia, trua, tkia. And what about Rebbe Yehuda? That doesn't really belong here, but as we said, okay, there's the girsa that this is brought. Is from the Gemara elsewhere that says that Rebbe Yehuda has the pasuk that says ukat utkatem trua shenit. Okay. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, Rabbanan, my tamayu, the Rabbanan will hold that it's considered to be separate kolos. Why do they say separate kolos? Bedafka. Dichtivu ba'akilat ha'kahal titku'u v'lo tariyu. You should bedafka do a tkia, not a trua. And if you're telling me that as a definition of the essential meaning of the kol is a tkia trua tkia, how could the Torah say to do like half of a thing? That doesn't make any sense. So would the Torah say, would our lover tell us to do a palga to mitzvah? Do half of the mitzvah, don't do the other half of the mitzvah. That doesn't make any sense. Rebbe Yehuda says, what are you talking mitzvah? That's talking about gathering people. That was a simon. It was just to understand if a guy's beeper is beeping, it has to be a true tkia, a tkia, true tkia. What kind of crazy question is that? This is the guy's beeper. So everybody knows that when they hear that call, so then they know they're supposed to come. That's not a mitzvah. The rabbanim say, you're right, it is a beeper, but the Torah said that that's the mitzvah to have on your beeper. So how could the Torah say to use only half a mitzvah on the beeper? Therefore, it doesn't make any sense. The Torah made it a mitzvah. Simanu, brachmana shavi mitzvah. Keman ozra the omar of Kahana. So who do you think Rav Kahana is going to, according to, when he says, ein bein kia l'trua v'lo klum? You can't make a break between the trua and the kia. Now, Rashi learns you can't make a break means you cannot pause longer than it takes you to take a breath. So there would be a slight break between the kia and the trua, but no more than that. So who's that going to? Well, obviously it's going according to Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda says they're all one mitzvah, so you can't break between them. I mean, isn't that obvious? Pshita, I mean, of course, if you all did separate mitzvahs, so what do you mean you can't break between them? No, it's not obvious, because ma'o detema. You might have thought that Rav Kahana was talking afilu k'rabbonan, but the rabbonan, he wanted to say who holds that it's three separate mitzvahs. Rav Kahana is saying, don't make the mistake of believing what Rabbi Yochanan said, according to the rabbonan. Lafukim and Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan says, listen, if a guy is walking down the street on Rosh Hashanah and he hears Teisha Tekiyas, Teisha Shas Biyom, the essential kailos that you have to hear are three times the Tekiyah Trua Tekiyah for three things, for the everything, the Zichrones, the Balchias, and the Shefres, that's three times three. And we do because of the suffix that we're not sure what the trua is, what type of kol it is. So over there, you'd still be yotze. So that, I mean, that means you could have an hour between the first trua and then the first kia and then the trua, and then an hour between the trua and the next kia. I mean, that Rav Kahana might be coming to say is not true. You can't have that kind of break. So how do you know? Oh, wait a minute. Then maybe that is what Rav Kahana is saying. When he said you can't break, maybe means you can't break longer than it would take to make the Shmias Kol, maybe. No, because he said specifically, V'lo klum, there cannot be any break between the Trua and the Tkia and the Trua, you see? So if he says V'lo klum, he obviously is not coming only Lafukim and Rabbi Yochanan. Now, the question is whether Rashi is correct. Rashi and Tosis both hold that what Rabbi Kahana was saying is that you can take a breath. Now, this is very nogea halacha lemaisa, because the hefsek between Shvarim Trua in Tashrat, everybody agrees. That's one call. Shvarim Trua, the reason that we do them is because we're saying maybe that is the call of Bechia that it's supposed to be. So then what is considered to be a hefsek? If Rashi is saying that velo klum means that you could take a breath, so then if that's the case, he would say the same thing for Tashrat. However, many of the Rishonim disagree. The Ritva disagrees, the Ramban disagrees. It's a big shaila of how it is that we should be noyeg halacha lemaisa, and the different approaches, bichlal. So in order to be yotze, all of the different shitas, you know what we do. I mean, it's like the latest, this comes from the Avnei Nezer and so on, that the best thing to do is that the kiyas, the army yushav, as the should be bekoach echad. The Chazanish says, without any neshima, without any break, you just continue to blow. That's the Chazon Ish's pshat. The Mishnah Berurah says a slight, less than a kedei neshima, but a slight break, so that it should be, at least we should understand it's not all one thing. This is a machlokas in the machlokas. And the tkias mu'umad with a neshima, whereas according to the Chazon Ish, it would be with less than a neshima, but two karchas on the doot, which would be each one of those beeps during the trua is considered to be a kayach. So the question whether you literally need, this is another machlokas, which is when you say Kedei Neshima, is it a shear of Neshima? Or do you need to actually take a Neshima? So that's already the Achrenim Sheba Achrenim argue about that. There's, you know, the Mayadim Vizmanim says that you're supposed to actually need a Neshima. I know that my cousin, Reb Farbstein, he might be quoting his father, but he says you don't need to have a Neshima Mamash. It's not the Kedei Neshima. I should ask him if he's quoting his father or not. Okay, but anyway, Rabbi Isai, this makes an afkamina, la halacha, on Rosh Hashanah coming up. Okay.